In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, the word epiphany means manifestation, coming to know something new, a light bulb moment where suddenly information perhaps that you didn't access before suddenly becomes available to you, a moment of understanding. And over the last few weeks, we've had a number of people, at least one so far, who've shared a little bit about their own journey of faith. So a long-standing friend of mine is Martin, and I'm going to ask him to come today and share a little bit about his journey of faith. And maybe if you're around afterwards, you might want to pick up on some of the things that he said. So Martin, come and share with us your story.
Thank you, Lyndon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Martin Holloway. I was born in 1961 in Ramsgate in Kent, and I'm currently at work as a contracts manager for a highways maintenance company. What I'm about to talk about today, I thought long and hard about. Some of it is quite heavy stuff. I may even miss some of it out. I may get emotional, and I apologise for that, but just bear with me. Lyndon asked me to speak today about how I came to faith and the epiphany moments that I've experienced in my faith journey. What I'm about to talk about, as I said, is a real life stuff. Only some of my real life stuff, not all of it, because Lyndon told me I've only got 10 minutes. I live with depression. I used to describe my depression as a deep well, so deep from the bottom of it, I could see no light. Just total darkness. As each bout of depression eased, a glimmer of light would appear above, barely a pinprick of light. I would start to climb up the walls of the well. There was nothing to grip or hang on to, just the earth walls. I'd climb up as carefully as I could, trying not to disturb the earth walls. Then without warning, the walls would crumble and I would crash back down into darkness. This happened many times, but that pinprick of light would always appear. On reflection, pardon the pun, the light was always there, but I just couldn't see it because of the darkness of my depression. I've had many times of complete joy in my life. It's not all been bad. But for a large part of it, there's been darkness which has resulted in this severe depression. This has required medical intervention, antidepressants, being admitted to mental health units, and as well as counselling. For most of my childhood, I grew up on the Newington Estate in Ramsgate, Kent. Newington Estate was not a bad place to be brought up in those days, but it helped if you were tough and you could hold your own. You won't believe this, but unfortunately for me, I wasn't tough, despite my appearance now. I was small for my age, I had gappy teeth, I wore glasses, I had an hereditary eye disorder, which despite corrective surgery, caused me to be slightly cross-eyed. Newington Infants and Primary School were difficult for me, especially the primary school. Being regularly bullied and ridiculed was part of my life because of my size and appearance. I was not fond of school. In fact, at times I hated it. But apparently, I loved going to Sunday school at Newington Free Church, located on the Newington Estate. I attended the same senior boys' school called Hearson School in Ramsgate that my dad and my uncles attended. It was a tough school. Only the year before I started at Hearson, boxing was still on the PE syllabus. It was difficult. It was as difficult for me as it had been at Newington Primary School. It was difficult throughout my school years. I left Hearson having done quite well, leaving with 8 reasonable CSE grades. Not bad considering what a low opinion I had of myself. In my teens, I acquired a love for motorbikes. Barry Sheen was my teenage hero. I had the thrill of meeting him a couple of times at Brands Hatch Circuit. When I left school, my work history was varied. I couldn't settle, but my love of motorbikes and my new circle of friends, mainly through work, helped me to escape my past. But my past was still there. One bully in particular would occasionally appear. I became extremely fit due to the heavy manual work that I was doing, and complemented by regular trips to the gym. But despite my newfound self-confidence, the fear and darkness remained. I concealed it until it surfaced again. There were moments of joy, epiphany moments, such as getting married at a young age, moving away to work, the birth of my two beautiful children, Natalie and James. All seemed good, only for the darkness and depression to return and haunt me again, not in the form of one, but two divorces over a period of 6 years. On both occasions, I ended up in mental health units. In the breakup of my first marriage, due to suicidal thoughts. In the second, suicide attempts. The doctor told me I'd taken enough medication and alcohol to kill an elephant, but I survived. Not sure if you'd call that an epiphany moment, but for sure, the light rescued me from eternal darkness. On both divorces were extremely acrimonious, despite me conceding to my ex's solicitor's demands, but only because I felt for the welfare of my kids and stepkids. I was homeless, jobless, vulnerable, in an extremely dangerous state of mind, as well as having to live with the stigma of a criminal record, losing absolutely everything twice. I wasn't sure where it was, but I still had my faith. But even in the darkness, there were glimmers of light. Although they may have been small ones, there were epiphany moments. My friends Craig, Dave and Nigel, who I thought would desert me, were there for me. All three are non-believers, but would make brilliant Christians. On the one occasion that I tried to speak to them about my faith, I had responses like, "What, after you've been through? What, after what you've been through?" There's one other comment that one friend made, but I couldn't repeat it up here. See me afterwards if you want to know what that is. My neighbour Pearl and my friend Ilse became my landlady for a while, and her husband Andrew were loving and supportive despite everything. Those friendships have been special lights in the darkness, epiphany moments. Some of the other epiphany moments that I believe I've experienced. There was a time when my second marriage was breaking up. I knew it was breaking up. And that's what brought me back to my faith at St. Luke's Church in Maidstone. An epiphany moment, perhaps in time of darkness, a glimmer of light in the darkness. There was a man about to jump off a bridge in Maidstone. I was driving home one Saturday afternoon, and I noticed some people had gathered on a bridge over a dual carriageway, which I was driving along. I parked my car at the side of the road and ran up the stairs onto the bridge, not knowing if I could get there before he jumped. With the assistance of there's a Gurkha's barracks in Maidstone, and with the assistance of a Gurkha's young daughter, we spoke calmly to him. With some assistance, we pulled him back over the guardrail. In front of the crowd and the police officers, I asked the man if I could pray for him. He didn't understand. He didn't speak English. So I put my hands together and asked him if I could pray for him, and he nodded with tears running down his face. I placed my hands on his shoulders and asked, "Dear Lord, bless and heal this man from whatever drove him to this day." I immediately felt like an electric shock, like pins and needles running through my arms into this poor man. Perhaps light in the darkness, an epiphany moment. An epiphany moment, even though a few weeks later, I would find myself, although in different circumstances, in the same dark place as that poor man on the bridge. Between then and now, there's been lots I could talk about, but my life's now good. It's not perfect, but good. It's blessed. I still have many challenges, But I try to focus on the light, seeking those epiphany moments. I have my beautiful better half, Teresa, of 17 years. Some of you know her. When I've spoken like this before, and I've probably not done this for about 10 years now at least, I used to refer to Teresa, saying how lovely she was and how well she looked after me. Mm-hmm. But she used to say it made her sound like my carer. I've got three wonderful stepchildren as well as my own two, and Teresa and I have 11 grandchildren. Oh, and I still have a motorbike, more than one in fact. All are gifts from God, light in the darkness, epiphany moments. As I said, there's lots that I could talk about, but before Lyndon drags me by the neck with a shepherd's crook, I'm sure there's one here somewhere, or a church warden prods me, I'll try and wrap this up now with how I deal with stuff that life throws at me these days. I pray most mornings. There's prayers, I set prayers I've discovered over the years that I pray. One of which is, Lord, I know what I must do this day. If I forget you, please don't forget me. I discovered that in a book, Soul Fuel by Bear Grylls. I still use Soul Fuel most mornings as part of my worship. The prayer is known as the Soldier's Prayer. Bear found it when his dad passed away on a piece of paper folded in his dad's wallet. I add to the Soldier's Prayer, and this is from one of Lyndon's sermons, and remember me in your kingdom. So Lord, I know what I must do this day. If I forget you, please don't forget me, and remember me in your kingdom. Another thing that I use quite often is from the Bible. One of my favourite quotes, spoken by Jesus, and in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. My favourite translation is, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own." Now, I am rubbish at not worrying about tomorrow, but when I do worry about it, I quite often think or pray this verse. Read Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. It's called the armour of God. My dear friend Norma from St Luke's Church in Maidstone recommended I put my armour on every day. And then there's one of the stuff that we do here in church every week. In one of our post-communion prayers, it says, "Father of all, we give you thanks and praise. When we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home." I've been far off many times and brought home into the light, saved, rescued from the darkness. More epiphany moments. The blessing at the end of this service, which will say, "Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Make his face shine upon you. Praying for an epiphany moment, for light, not darkness. So friends, my advice to you is, if you're going through rough times, read your Bible. If you find that hard, buy yourself a daily devotional, a book to guide you, or load an app onto your mobile phone, such as Abide. I've got my books here that I read most mornings. This Soul Fuel, it's looking a bit worn by now. I've probably been reading this for about 6 years now. Amazing You, this is written by a lady called Philippa Hannah. She's a well-known worship singer. And my Christian Vision for Men Bible. And I've also got the Abide app on my phone. Sorry, I need your drinks. So, and finally, so, friends, if any of you out there today are living with depression, please remember this. Depression is living in a body that fights to survive with a mind that wants to let go. A war right inside your body. Your body is clinging on while your mind tries to let go. But every war has got a survivor, a warrior. And if you're still breathing, you're winning, my friend. It may not feel like it, but every breath you take, that defiance, that grit, that light in the darkness, each breath, an epiphany moment. So keep at it, keep fighting, because you, my friend, with the help and love of our Lord God, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, are tougher than the darkness could ever reckon with. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martin. It was a great pleasure some time ago to baptize Martin. And if you've not been baptized, come and see me. Please discuss with him about moments of his journey of faith and certainly some of the books that sustain him on a daily basis. Thank you.